It's T&R. T&R. 95 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Oh, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Always chipper Dan Roach filling in this morning.
Sorry.
No, I like it. I like it.
Although, don't be so defensive, Dan. Shut up.
Although, admittedly, Dan... Yeah, okay, here's the one great thing about Dan Roach. You know what? Let me take this call, because I want to get into something about... I've noticed something about Dan that's it's a great quality, but it's something I've noticed that is just something that we don't usually get in the studio often.
Right.
To John. What's up, John? You're on Toucher and Rich.
So two things about the Bruins commercial. The first thing is that 98.5% of your audience think Adam Jones is a cornerback for the Bengals. That's why they didn't use him. Number two is that Felger is a vile, contrarian blowhard. He is the anti-Dan Roach. You juxtapose him against all those awesome, overachieving rookies of the Bruins, it's perfect. You got the hated idiot villain who is detested in this town, and you get multiple kids who are working their butts off and winning. So, you know what, Felger? In one words of Sean Thornton, suck it.
That's right. That's right. You know what? He's absolutely right. I mean, that was something, too, that helped put Felger in the position that he's in and helped put him on the map, just like it put the whole station. Like, when Sean Thornton said, well, I guess we're not that bad after all. Suck it, Felger. I mean, it validated him, and Felger's got a great sense of humor about the whole thing. And once again, at least he cared to talk about the Bruins when some people just neglected not to because they thought it was like a bad business decision. Listen, you know, the study of history is something that's important because we've learned that can you neglect certain things we've seen in the past, it'll come back and it'll bite you in the ass. And at least Felger was there, and that's why at the beginning of the season, once again, he cared enough to talk about him. And the Bruins, it's a perfect commercial. He's a villain in sports media. The Bruins are now shoving it in his face. Everyone wins.
And Cam Neely's happy.
The Cam Neely thing is kind of funny because remember when we used to have Shirelli on and they would have Cam Neely on? It might have been two of the more uncomfortable interviews you would hear in radio. And like we tried really hard with Shirelli. I mean, with Danny Ainge, we have a great relationship. You know, he busts our balls. You know, sometimes we bust his. He tells us things. He breaks news on the show. You know, there's a. It's about as good of a radio friendship as you can have. Boy, do we try with Shirelli.
Imagine you're sitting in a dentist chair, and they drill down on your teeth, and then the dentist halfway through realizes he's made a mistake and has to drill down some more on a separate tooth while cleaning up the other one. Sitting in the chair for all that time, that's kind of like what the Shirelli interview was like every week.
Listen, some of our interviews can be painful, but I will say one thing, is that most of the people, the majority of the people that we have as a regular interviews, we have a great relationship with Gorman, you know, Merriweather, Roosevelt Colvin, who's apparently in town, which I didn't know about. Maybe we'll see if we can get him in Monday. I don't know what his deal is, but he's tweeted.
He's doing a signing on Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, maybe he's in town. I don't know. We'll see. But either way, you know, we do a pretty good job. Shirelli was impossible not to crack. And I used to actually like the Cam Neely interviews, despite how uncomfortable they were, you know, once again, because they ask good questions, because they're fans of the Bruins. They'd be tough questions. But Cam Neely would have to answer some of those
questions. And Cam answered them well. I thought, you know, it was interesting to hear his insight into some of these things.
That's the only thing that I'm bummed about. I actually missed that interview. I don't miss our interviews with Shirelli when he was gone. I don't at all.
Well, at least Shirelli would come on with us.
I know.
Don Sweeney wants nothing to do with us, apparently.
Well, Sweeney.
Sweeney knows better.
Sweeney would have like one.
He's heard, they get a scouting report, maybe.
Yeah. Sweeney was weird because we had him on once.
Yeah.
And it just didn't go well. I forgot what happened.
No, he ended the interview with, I'm glad I could come on before you guys start kicking me in the you-know-what.
No. That wasn't it. He was making fun of Fred. He was like saying, if you'd show up at the locker room every once in a while. It wasn't like in a ball-busting type of way. It was like, I don't respect you. And he was like, all right, cool. And then we had Bruce Cassidy on. He killed it.
He's awesome.
Like, Cassidy was awesome.
And right after he got the job. I remember that.
Yeah. Sure. And we're like, oh, we got to have Cassidy on every week. And now just the Bruins completely went like, you know, we're just... And listen, whatever they're doing is working. So I don't mind. You just continue to... You win. You we don't have to have that interview. You guys are doing an amazing job, and there's really not a lot of questions that need to be answered right now. You guys are... They're doing everything right.
Well, and I've said this before. But, the best thing is listen to Judd or Beersy with Cassidy on the pregame show.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a lot of insight, and he's honest.
Yeah.
He's refreshingly honest.
Cassidy's excellent, and it's one of those things where you got instantly why he connects with the young guys. Because he's got a good sense of humor. He's obviously a man who commands respect, but on top of that, you know, he seems to be a little bit of a ball buster as well. We're going to have Judd Surratt, by the way, on, who's the voice of your Boston Bruins. At 8:20, we'll talk about that. But first... I've got something I need to propose to Wallach. No commercials, just the headlines.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The only thing we have in mind right now is his best interest. Oh. And we'll... Don't ever interrupt me, Rochie. I'll knock you out.
Happy holidays.
Anybody that I would like to talk to have a question?
Terry, it's May, yes. Red Sox Yankees, though, here. Okay, good.
Has it been hard to maybe find yourself because of that as a team?
Find myself.
Find the team.
What are you talking about on television? That's way too personal.
How tough is it, Terry, when you have a kid that's...
Don't lean on my computer.
Would you like to have a pole named after you one day?
I'd like to have one less TV guy.
Terry, have a great offseason. I won't talk to you at all.
I don't believe that. You'll be in my driveway in about 3 weeks.
You plan on spending half or most of your offseason in the hospital or
watching from afar? Or... No, Roach, I plan on staying home so you can come over to my driveway and grab me, and when something happens, I'll be available.
Terry, always a pleasure. Nice house. Love it. Been here a couple times now. It's, feel like family.
I don't feel like I need to invite you in. Thanks, Roachy.
I said it before. I miss him. I miss Terry Francona.
And he never invited me in, by the way.
It's not like you haven't been in without asking before.
It was just the driveway.
Hiding in the cabinets.
Hey, Tito. You know, morning.
I can see you. I can see you at Fenway getting underneath his car and grabbing onto the bottom like De Niro in Cape Fear. Just following
him
home.
I can kind of see that.
I can see that kind of relationship brewing between you guys. But Dan Roach is filling in this morning. It's Toucher Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. And we are simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Okay, so real quick, Dan, I have to ask you, because you do something that literally no one else, at least that I know of, here at this station does, or at least anyone that comes in this room.
Smiles?
That could be part of it.
Yeah.
You wear cologne.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Like, when I walk in this room...
You can smell it.
Instantly, and
it's
I don't
my
think...
my obsession.
You actually wear...
Literally.
You wear obsession?
I do.
Okay.
Boy.
Because I've always been afraid my entire life of smelling.
Okay.
Body odor. I used to work with someone in radio that had horrific body odor.
We're known for that.
That would knock you over when you walked in, you opened the door to the studios.
Yeah.
And I learned from that. I'd rather smell over the top cologne or something like that than smell.
But now, do you have a body that's built for stink? Like, are you somebody that when you don't use... Because there's some people just are normal human beings that,
right,
for one reason or the other, they just smell awful.
Have that. Yeah, right. I didn't have that.
Okay, so you don't really need that.
I know, and I get nervous about it. You know? And it's going to be a long day. I've got an anchor tonight and everything else. So, just in case.
Okay. How much do you put on?
Just like a couple squirts, you know?
All right.
It's powerful stuff. So, I apologize.
How much you put on, Dan?
I do. It's like, I squirt. Three.
Does anybody else at the station wear cologne? And I just don't know about it. Dan, do you wear cologne?
Every now and then, but yeah.
Okay, but I never smell yours.
Yeah. Which is not during the week at work. No, because you roll out of bed. And I know Dan has other responsibilities and things to do. He sees normal people during the day. Right. We don't. We try and avoid. We avoid, you know, contact with other people.
It's a welcome thing. It's almost like when you have a female in studio, they actually wear, like, perfume or things that smell not, you know, basically at all points, this studio smells like a ham sandwich. You just walk in, and it's just people who just, you know... I have to shower in the morning. I have to do it. It wakes
me
up.
Same thing.
I don't understand how people can go to work and not be showered, but a lot of people do that. On top of that, there's just a lot of people who just don't keep themselves clean. Right. I've worked with several people like that, people that you stand near, and it feels like the room gets hotter Mm-hmm. Because just the stink.
Big heat wave. Right. Yes, I've dealt with people like that.
Remember Pigpen in the cartoons?
Yeah. Except it was more like, would follow you?
Yeah, but it wasn't like a cloud. It was just like this big, musty circle of heat because they wouldn't wash. But I do want to thank you. You are one of the first people, or the only people at the station who actually shows up, and it actually smells nice in here. So thank you very much. And you can smell it as soon as you walk in the room, too. And that's not because of how much you put on. I think it's just because it's different and it doesn't smell like a ham sandwich.
Stop wearing
like it.
Like
it usually does. No, don't stop wearing it.
Self-conscious 24/7.
Get a little Old Spice in there. Go, you know, go old school.
My dad used to wear Aramis. I used to smell it like all the time.
A little
too,
high karate.
You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad always smelled like Barbasol.
Yeah.
Like the
right, you always had it. Yeah, exactly. After he shaved, whatever. And I'd be like, oh.
That's
oh, yeah.
the thing as a kid, you never forget that. Mine wore Old Spice.
Really?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Old Spice aftershave lotion.
It's weird.
You know the bottle and everything.
Yes.
My father, he passed away, I think it was three years ago, I think. And I kept one of his hats. Like the only thing I kept.
Yep.
I kept a hat of his, and it still smells like Barbasol and
Does
Old Spice.
Really?
Like, I mean, 3 years later, which can't be healthy. It can't be good for it to last that long. But yeah, I mean, it's a smell that just sticks with you. Me, when I was a kid, I tried to do cologne one time and it backfired so much. I remember going into seventh grade because I had worn some cologne. And like the whole entire class like was like, who is this? And to the point where they were trying to figure out who it was. And I was so embarrassed because people were like coughing and wheezing. I think I had taken almost like what would be a shot glass full. And just put it all over my body.
How are you supposed to know if you're in seventh grade?
Well, I know.
Seriously. How many seventh graders do that?
And then after all the kids left the room, it was like the Hot for Teacher video. The women just, the female teachers just couldn't take it. They're like, whoa, who is this Waldo?
Who is that?
Right,
bitch?
Who's this guy?
Ooh, where's Richie?
Okay, so Gordon Hayward is a strange guy. Hang on real quick. Let's go. Reese, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys? What is Dan Roach doing? He's in Terry Francona's driveway and going in his house.
What's that?
Squirt, squirt, squirt.
Okay, yes, he's got the cologne. Yes, he puts the cologne on. I don't even know. He wears a lot of cologne around Terry Francona. And then he punches you in the chest, which apparently he would do to Don Arcillo and you.
Did it to Donnie. Like, sometimes, one time he unleashed on him. Like, just went nuts, chased him into the dugout, punching him and everything else.
I've seen him on TV. You know? Okay, so if you missed it earlier, we were talking about Terry Francona and how when you cover the team, like, you guys had a pretty good relationship. When's the last time you guys spoke, like, or tweeted or texted?
Texted a week ago, 2 weeks
ago. Okay, yeah, you guys, like, keep in touch. But the one thing he would do to you, and sometimes it almost seemed like he was doing it for real, but quote-unquote playfully, is he would punch you in the chest. And now, how often would he do that?
It would be, well, during the season, you know.
Once a month?
Well, I was going to say once every couple of weeks.
Okay. He would just come up and just nail you.
Oh, yeah. And when you didn't expect it, you never get punched by somebody when you don't expect it.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's the worst. And, At least, if you could see him walking towards you, you could, like, corner of your eye, you go.
And just, boom. And, like, would it ever leave a mark?
No, it would just hurt. You know?
Yeah, it would kill.
It would.
He'd give you a full one. Okay. Because I remember one time on TV, he nailed Don Arcillo, and Don Arcillo was trying to laugh through it, but you could tell he was actually in pain.
Yes. Tito got him pretty good sometimes, and that was pretty
tough. Were you two the only guys he would punch, or would he punch like Shaughnessy?
No, it would just be the two of them.
He'd punch him in the throat, and the hand would get stuck?
No, it was Arcillo every day, and then sometimes Rochi when he was feeling really good about himself, but it was Dio every single day.
You'd see Francona just punching the afro. Oh, Dan Shaughnessy and just getting stuck in there. It's like Br'er Rabbit. Ah! So after he would punch you, but that was like a sign of respect. He did you and he did Arcillo and that was it pretty much. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when that's all said and done, did you ever say to him, dude, that hurt. This is not a joke.
And he'd laugh.
And he would laugh and he'd hit you harder.
Yeah.
God, like, I miss him.
That's just how he was.
I miss him. I miss the stories.
He was the best.
Did he ever take a dump in front of you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he'd be in there and I'd be talking to him.
It's a swinging doors
but,
there.
But yeah. He'd call
just give
you
me a minute, Rochi. And it'd be, just give me a minute, Rochi.
Because that was another great thing about that autobiography that came out is that he would just go into his office, sit down, drop trout, take a dump, and call in media members to talk to them.
Yeah.
And it would sit there and do that. And he did that in front of you?
Anyway, he'd say, I'd be with you in a minute. Like if you'd walk in, Tito? Oh, I'm in here, you know what I mean?
So he never called you in to do it?
No.
Okay, because there's media members that he has called in while he was using the bathroom.
Yeah, no.
And that was, then in the book, accidentally, one time he called in a media member, and with that media member was the female PR person for the Red Sox.
I read that. And he felt awful
because he had his pants down, and they came in, and it was a very awkward situation. God, I miss him. I do. Now Farrell is going to be an analyst apparently for
this ought to be good.
Baseball tonight, right?
Yeah,
this ought to be
tonight.
Really good. I think didn't he get hired as a scout?
Well,
yeah, he got hired as a scout by who?
Part time scout for the Reds.
Reds, yeah.
And he's also going to do that. So
that's quite
good at it. Though.
Quite a come down from where he was.
Well, you know,
yeah.
He's still got a World Series under his belt and everything else. He'll get another managing job, no question.
Craig, you're on Toucher and Rich.
How are we doing?
What's up,
guys? I just want to tell this story real quick. In middle school, seventh grade, it was about when Axe just came out. I brought a can of Axe to school, and I sprayed it in the classroom, and the teacher had an allergic reaction and almost died. We had to evacuate the classroom. Everyone went down to the auditorium, and she got taken away in an ambulance. So
she had an allergic reaction.
Wow.
Like, what did she start doing?
She just, like, couldn't breathe. It started, like, just, like, swelling of the throat, you know, just like a normal allergic reaction to the spray. It was pretty nerve-wracking. I thought I almost killed my teacher. He's one of my favorite teachers, too. So.
Oh, my God. How much did you spray on you?
I mean, not that much, you know. I mean, the middle school kid, Axe just came out, you know. The commercial they were shoving down everyone's throat at the time, like, the more you spray on you, the more manly you are. You know?
All the chicks come running. Yeah.
It's the Axe bath.
All right. I want cologne backlash stories. 617-779-0985. Have you ever had cologne? You put on too much, something horrible happened. I want a cologne backlash story because it happens all the time. 617-779-0985. We'll put you on hold, but we have Judd Surratt, the voice of the Boston Bruins, coming on with us in just a moment.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Toucher and Rich.
You are on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is what I think the big issue with the team is. There's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I love that ad. The more I see it, the more I like it. Good job by the Bruins organization. Remembering the things that Michael Felger said at the beginning of the season and kind of busting his balls about it now.
A little sense of humor. Nice to see, too.
It's good.
Everyone's so intense and angry these days. Like, relax. It's sports.
I said, I get.
Turn that front upside down.
Please.
Let's make it an APD. All positive day.
Do you ever notice that Dan's all positive cries for an all positive day are always, like, preceded by a really pissed off rant that I'm angry that people aren't happy?
Yeah.
I'm so pissed off that people aren't happy anymore.
So be happy.
So be happy, damn it. Yeah, well, Judd Surratt is the voice of your Boston Bruins. He has been this season, and what a season it's been so far. Judd, have you seen that commercial that the Bruins came out with using Felger?
No. Of course I've seen it.
It's excellent. That's
a
good ad.
To hear that early in the season, you know, and, you know, I think this is why sometimes it's hard, you know, across an 82-game season to make pronouncements maybe 17 games in. But I think that, you know, you have to go back to the beginning for the Boston Bruins, that they felt like, at least hockey operations felt like they had a good, solid core and a good nucleus. Those guys were going to insulate some of the young players that they were going to bring onto the roster this year. And you had dynamic players like Charlie McAvoy. Yes, he's hurt, but Jake DeBrusk and Dan Heinen, what a surprise Matt Grizzlick has been. And because of that, you've got a team that's hit the century mark and has already clinched the playoff spot.
But admit it, you didn't think that things were going to go this smoothly and this well with this team, correct, at the beginning of the season?
No, I don't think that, you know, at this point that they would be vying for the President's Trophy and have an opportunity at first overall in the National Hockey League. I did think at the beginning, because I remember when Felger and Maz had me on, when I first came in for the job, I think I had mentioned that I don't see any reason why the Boston Bruins cannot come out of the Eastern Conference. At least at that point in the season, before we'd even started, there were probably just two teams that stood out, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Pittsburgh is not the same team that it was last year. There were a lot of core guys, or maybe glue guys, I think is a better term, that are no longer with the team. So I didn't see any reason why the Bruins couldn't come out of the Eastern Conference and represent the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, if you look back at last year for the Nashville Predators, they were the 8th seed in the playoffs. They went out, obviously, they lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins in the finals. So I felt like there was a possibility, just the way that the East was structured, that the Bruins could challenge for a title. But we've got a long way between now and then, because the playoffs are a completely different animal.
All right, so let's talk about the East, because the Tampa Bay is interesting. The beginning of the season, you saw the Bruins play Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay was shorthanded at the time, and the Bruins ended up winning that one. And then the other day, that was a great game. I mean, it was the Bruins were shorthanded, and they end up shutting them out. How do you see the matchup? Because I know that Dan was telling us yesterday he had spoken to someone in the NHL who believes that it's an excellent matchup for the Boston Bruins. How do you feel after seeing them play each other this season? Where do you think this stands?
Well, hold on. We're kind of jumping rounds here because, you know, at this point, I think it would be hard to see those teams play one another in the first round. If they eventually meet, it seems like it's a good matchup for the Bruins. I think that for some reason, the Lightning, over a long stretch and a long series, have a problem playing against the Bruins. You know, that said, that's a really talented group. You got some high-end skill players. You got a guy who could easily be the Norris Trophy winner. I don't think it's going to happen this year for Victor Hedman. I think the big question for them is, how is their young goaltender going to fare in the playoffs? Andre Vasilevsky is very talented. He's played a lot of hockey, maybe more hockey than he should have at this point for a team that could win the Atlantic Division. But for the Bruins, because of the way that they play in five-man units and because of the type of lines that they throw out there, whether it's the Tampa Bay Lightning or any team in the Eastern Conference, they're going to give somebody else some fits.
Were you calling the Blackhawks when they won the cup?
I was part of the broadcast team for the three cup titles.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so when you've obviously covered teams that know how to win, and you've seen what happens with chemistry and you know the type of attitude when they go into the postseason, is there anything that you see in this Bruins team that is that kind of extra, not just the matchups, but the chemistry, you know, the veterans and the young guys that you saw with the Blackhawks that makes you think that they might have that special thing that it takes to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, I think thinking back to the Blackhawks, one of the things that made them successful was that they had a four-line rotation, and they could play them in multiple situations. They can play them in any matchup, and they could play them on the road. And when the Bruins are healthy, and I think that's the biggest question mark for the team heading into the playoffs, or I think the primary question for the Bruins heading into the playoffs, how healthy will they be? What will their lineup look like when they open the playoffs, wherever that may be, and against whom? But, you know, you're going to have arguably the best line in the league. And it sounds like Bergeron is going to rejoin the team on this trip, but Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, you've got a second line now with David Krejci and Rick Nash. When you add Rick Nash to the mix, you're talking about a guy who's been able to check and defend at the highest levels against some of the best players. That changes fundamentally what that line can do. In addition to that, you're talking about a guy who can also score some goals. You've already got a third line, if David Backes is healthy, with Riley Nash and Danton Heinen, assuming that he's there, that has already played that role this year, and you've got a fourth line that your head coach has full confidence in a variety of situations. If they're up against the line, just take example, because the Edmonton Oilers mentioned it when we were up there, that when they got the puck deep, they didn't change. They stayed on for that shift up against one of the very best players in the National Hockey League. And that is a huge weapon. That was a weapon that the Blackhawks had through three Stanley Cup runs.
Does Tuukka make you nervous at all?
No. I understand that there's a lot of history here when it comes to Tuukka Rask and the city of Boston. But I was thinking about this morning. If you think back to a guy like Pekka Rinne, and I know that, you know, because the Bruins are in the Eastern Conference, maybe fans don't get an idea of what Rinne's history is and what he's been about. But there were a lot of questions about his ability to lead his team deep into the playoffs. He answered those last year. Granted, they did not win, but I think that there's full confidence in a guy who's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy that he can lead a team to a Stanley Cup title. Whether it's Tuukka Rask or any other goaltender for a Stanley Cup contender, goals are going to happen. What you want are you stop the pucks that you're supposed to stop, make five or six timely saves each night to give your team a chance to win. And I don't see any reason why Rask doesn't have that ability.
John, is there a question of anybody not coming back health-wise of the group that's the big group that's out?
Oh, that's a huge unknown.
Is it DeBrusk, maybe? Maybe he's the guy?
I, I don't have any information that would lead me to say yes or no. We have no.
Welcome to the NHL, where they don't tell you a damn thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly. You know, and when it comes to the playoffs, you know, I know that other teams around the league, they may tell you something that they say is upper body or lower body, and I still don't buy it. So, you know, I just don't have enough information to be able to answer that question accurately. I think what we do know is that Patrice Bergeron is going to rejoin the team, hopefully in Minnesota, depending on what the doctors say. He's supposed to have, I think, another doctor's appointment today. And you're hoping that maybe Torrey Krug can also step back into your lineup tonight when the Bruins are here in Dallas.
All right, well, this is going to be an interesting couple of months, and hopefully it goes nice and long into the summer. That way Billy Jaffe will have to indeed keep the sheets clean in the extra bedroom for you. Have you still been able to? Are you still in with Billy Jaffe?
I still am.
Right.
I think, you know, he's actually missed me while the Nor'easters have blown through Boston. I understand this last one was not that.
It was nothing.
Not as predicted.
Yeah.
Hopefully, by the way, you know, because I was driving to the airport, hopefully, you know, I heard Fred was looking for somebody to shovel his driveway. Hopefully, he paid in advance. And somebody had a chance to stick it to him.
Yeah, I'm sure he might have. I don't know how that worked out. I was out of town myself. But well, listen, man, we are excited about the playoffs. We're glad that they're in. And by the way, you have, I think you won us over. At the beginning of the season, I remember we were kind of, this guy is pretty intense. But by the end of it, you know, am I right in saying that we've been giving him a fair shake throughout the season?
Yeah. See, I can only speak for myself. I gave him a fair shake right from the start. I wasn't closed-minded like you.
I love Beersy so much that he's fine. Jed is fine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, just because you're just by proxy.
That's a good
because
point.
You're sitting next to a guy. No, you've been doing a good job this season. Yeah, and we've been enjoying the calls.
It's been fun.
Oh, thanks, guys. I tell you what, you know, it's a fabulous group to work with. Bob Beers, Howie Sylvester. You know, the coaching staff has been fabulous. It's a great room, you know, and obviously the team has played phenomenally well at this point. But we got a lot of hockey left, and, you know, and hopefully we're playing until mid to late June.
Yeah, let us know when Billy adopts you.
I think his wife may.
I know. Are you going to get your own place, though, after the season's done, right? You'll finally have time to get your own place?
No. I'm just going to live there forever.
See, I like that.
My wife and my kids in there, and that's where we're living.
I love it.
So they've got behind.
Where we're gonna be.
You know, there's Behind the Bee. They just need to do a reality show about you and Jaffe living together, and the wife like, "Ah, when's this guy getting out of here?" And then you guys get your feet up on the table, like, "We just want to golf." All right,
it's
that's a
life. You know, times have changed.
Sure, absolutely. All right, Jeff. We'll talk to you again soon. All right.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting. Get buckled up. I don't know why people are freaking out. I mean, listen, Tampa Bay, obviously, Vasilevsky is the man, but, I mean, you've seen them.
Hedman's a Norris Trophy winner, and they have a possible Hart Trophy winner up front in Kucherov. They're a good team.
But look at the top.
Hashtag John Wallach wants the Bruins to lose.
Damn it, walked right into that.
We got more of that. All right, speaking of John Wallach, here's his headlines.
You're listening to Kutcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics.
98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, this is a story of things down.
Yeah, Dan Roach filling in for Fred this morning, and I'm told to take this guy. Mike, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, I'd like to.
You okay, Mike?
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boston Bruins, that commercial that they have about Felger, I think it's so good and it's right on point. And the other thing, like I said, with Felger, he has no good word for nobody. And it's supposed to be a talk radio show. And when you call up, if he doesn't like what you say, he just cuts you off. And it's every day. And if you don't do what he says and don't talk about how he wants you to talk, they cut you off. It shouldn't be a talk radio.
Has he cut you off before?
Yes, a couple times. And I had legitimate questions.
Is it because your radio's cranked in the background and they usually tell you to turn it down?
No, I don't have my radio. No, we just... I ask him a question and he talks, and he'll just cut you right off in a mid-sentence.
Okay. Felger's a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of mean, isn't he?
I watch your shows every day, and you don't cut nobody off. You listen to a good or bad.
Rich, see?
Pardon me?
Fred cuts people off.
Yes, Rich is really nice.
That's right.
No, you guys do, you do it good. You listen to all the questions, like I said, with Felger. If he's in a bad day, he wants to run the whole show. And I don't know, he doesn't like any Boston team.
Hey, is your radio on?
Are you sure you don't have the radio on in the background?
Hello, Dan Roach.
No, I don't have nothing.
Oh, wait for it.
And like I said,
hold on.
Oh, he shut it off.
Yeah, he shut it off. He's on to us.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate you calling, man.
Yes, thank you.
You call anytime, and you crank that radio. We'll talk to you soon. By the way,
I don't have it on. Come on, Mike.
By the way,
do you mean you don't have it on, Mike?
Did you see her in the background? So we understand why those calls.
And I was kidding about Felger, by the way.
Well, listen, here's the thing: is that people are like ripping that commercial.
You love him or hate him. That's the beauty of Mike Felger.
It's not even
right?
Felger. It's like, okay, here's the deal: is that that commercial is a great commercial that the Bruins made. It busts the balls of somebody who was, and the other thing is, like, I hate to break it to you, but people who either write about sports, people who talk about sports, you know, they're in the opinion business. They got to give their opinion in one way or another, and there's all these, you know, ice cold takes and things like that. I mean, these things come back and bite everyone in the ass, so no one's like really like, I feel awful. People are going to make wrong predictions all the time, and I just thought it was funny that they used that and they went with it. I will say one thing, though. This is one thing that if you've been in the sports talk radio game for more than 5 weeks, I will say that the reason that there's so much negativity is that it is way easier to be someone that says a team will fail.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they win, you can go, oh, well, everyone's so happy that it doesn't matter. If they end up winning it all, they'll come back and give you a little bit of crap, but not a ton. But if you say that a team is going to go all the way, if they don't or if they lose, everyone's angry, and the colossal amount of crap that you get is insufferable. So that's why sports talk radio leans towards the negative, is it's a much easier and...
So easy to be negative.
It's not even just a negative thing. It's that as a radio host, you don't hear about it as much. You don't get as much backlash if you're negative, because if they win the whole thing, everyone's happy at the end of the year anyway, and you don't hear much about it. But if you say they're going to win the entire deal, at the end when they don't, everyone gives you a load of crap, and it's just huge, and everyone's pissed off and in a bad mood. So that's why, if you ever wanted to know why everyone on the radio is so pissed, because it's easier on the host to be negative. It is. In the end, you get a lot less crap. So you start giving crap to people who are crapping on the team, and then when they end up winning, still continue to give them crap. And be nice to the people who think they're going to do well. Like Dan Roach.
Dan Roach.
Because he thinks, unlike David Ortiz, that the Red Sox are going to win the whole thing. G. Ortiz yesterday?
I saw that.
Yeah. He thinks that.
What he exposed him to say?
Yeah, we've had this gentleman on hold for a while. Dan Roach wears a lot of cologne. And we want to hear about cologne backlash stories. Robert, what's up, man?
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
So I have quite a good story. When I was about 13, I had an infatuation with that cologne called Brute.
Yeah, I remember it.
Oh, yeah, it was pungent. I about a bottle of that would last me a week. And I was in the bathroom. My brother and I, we had a shared bathroom because our rooms were adjoining. And I was, like, in mid-splash, and my mother barged in to tell me not to put on so much cologne so I didn't smell like a French you-know-what. And the splash ended up going right down my throat, and then I instantly puked all over my brother.
How'd he smell?
So you accidentally ingested a mouthful of Brute and immediately vomited.
Yep, right on my brother.
Oh, man. Was his name Al? What? His name is brother. You could say Brute Al, because he threw Brute all over Al.
See, brutal. See, I speak Roachy. I saw what was coming.
Oh,
yep.
My.
Exactly.
God. We'll be right back.
No, no, we're not breaking. I'm letting you sit and stew in that one.
No.
You're going to sit and you're going to be punished.
Oh, come on.
As a guy who's suffered through this before,
no, I
it's finally got finally happy somebody else has to deal with this.
I'm throwing you a life preserver.
Here we go.
I'm letting you sit there and just swim.
I'm stewing it. Fine. Oh, negative, negative, negative. No help, no fun.
You got to save that. That might be the worst joke ever told on this show. It's so bad that it's great. I think right. Later on today, I'm going to just go, that didn't happen. It's kind of like we used to have our cruises, and the next morning I would wake up and say, did any of that stuff actually really happen? The Toucher and Rich cruises? They were.
Yeah, bring that up after I missed that.
Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
My dad was a constant thief of my cologne. So I decided to hide it one day. A few weeks before I was delivering pizza, my mom decided to give me a little thing of pepper spray because she was worried about my safety. And I had it. I just put it in my bureau. My dad came in, was expecting to get a little spray of cologne, opened my bureau, finds a little case. He's like, oh, this must be new cologne. Sprays it on himself, pepper spray. Completely messed himself up. You know, it was ridiculous.
So what happened? You hear your dad, like, screaming?
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
So he's screaming.
Typical son.
Is it in his eyes, or is it just his skin that's burning?
Well, he sprayed it, like, on his neck. So, like, it got basically a cloud all in his face. And his eyes just started, like, his eyes went red. He started, like, taking his shirt off. He was like, what is going on? What'd you do to me? He thought I planted it there. He thought I did it deliberately. And I'm like, no, man.
So you got along well with him.
You.
That's great.
He's very happy. He loves telling everybody that story.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, thank you, man. All right, let's go to Josh. Josh, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, I just want to discuss the hockey talk that takes place on this show and how awful it is, how nauseating it is to hear someone like John Wallach say that the Tampa Bay Lightning have a better goaltender when it's the guy's first year in goal and with a team that is, you know, essentially an all-star team in front of him, saying that that's better than Tuukka Rask. The guy hasn't even had a full year as a goaltender, and Tuukka Rask has a much broader body of work, and he has the nerve to say that Vasilevsky is a better goaltender. And that's just the
this year he is.
This year he is. So let's let Josh speak. So, Josh, what you're saying is that Wallach is dumb.
When he speaks about hockey, and this year he is, because this year they didn't have to deal with, you know, losing key guys early and then having to, you know, bring up young guys, and suddenly those young guys flourished, but he didn't have that benefit. He had Steven Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman in front of him the whole year, you know, and with a very few injuries. So it hurts me that, you know, it doesn't hurt me. It hurts my soul when I hear guys like you and Felger, Rip Kukarek.
Wow.
Rip Tuukka Rask, when the guy is
brother?
A solid goaltender. He's a solid goaltender. He plays very well. You know, he goes through slumps. He has hot streaks. He had a hot streak towards the middle of the season, and now I guess you could say he's slumping. He's just not hot right now.
Well, Josh, maybe you don't know this, but we learned yesterday that Wallach wants the Bruins to lose.
Yes. It's a hashtag of ours.
It's trending now.
He wants them to lose, and he hasn't been hiding that.
It's my strategy. Like you were saying before, I can always be negative, and when they win, everyone's going to forget.
No, they're going to kill you, because I want to make sure they do.
Okay.
this entire station ripping on Tuukka Rask and like these like dumb can't say that word dumb fans who rip Tuukka Rask, like, dude, you have a solid goaltender. What's Carey Price doing right now?
Sure,
what's your boy Martin? What's your boy Martin Jones doing right now?
Understood. But I mean, with Vasilevsky, I mean, his numbers are better. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of other factors you have to put into that, including the defense in front of him. But when you Rask obviously makes Bruins fans nervous because of the track record. You understand that, right?
He's a goaltender that, you know, he isn't like a generational, like, ultimate. You're not Patrick Waugh in there. I mean,
right.
Obviously. If the D is playing like crap, obviously he's going to be shaky. He's going to give up a soft goal just like any other goaltender in the league. But he's not, you know, he's a good, solid goaltender. He's going to give you a good shot to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks.
I agree.
It's good to hear.
By the way,
everybody rips to
the positivity.
It's the
in
easiest
this
thing to
town
do.
Is just really amazing.
No, it's the easiest thing to do in sports radio is to rip the goaltender, rip the, you know, the relief pitcher, rip this. It's easy to rip the guy like that. It is.
Mm-hmm.
He's good enough.
Although Dan Roach being merciless, because in the last 45 seconds he tweeted a hashtag Wallach wants the Bruins to lose one.
You don't think I noticed that?
No.
You think you got away with that?
I was keeping you distracted.
Chris, set us straight. What's up, Chris?
going. So, Roach, first off, big fan. I don't want this to come off the wrong way.
Oh, here we go.
But I got.
It's like my wife now.
Like, well, no, I haven't had any conversations with her. I'm just wondering, why are you so afraid of negativity? Like, you got to have a couple rainy days to appreciate the sunny ones. And it just seems like whenever someone has, like, a negative approach, you're like, really quick to jump in front of it and try and right the ship. Like, I just wanted to know, like, is everything cool?
Yeah, everything's great.
Okay, all right. All right, I was just... Like,
well, you tell me, what's negative right now?
Well, I mean, we're just, you know, we're a negative group of people out here as is. But it just seems like whenever someone has, like, a negative take on the Sox or anything like that, we just, like, immediately, like, try and go positive. And I kind of related it back to, like, a Disney movie. Like, you know, Inside Out, we learned...
Now you're understanding my life.
Hang on, Chris.
The circle of life.
Chris, I got to put you on hold. We have to break. We need to continue this. All right, we're here. Yeah, no, no.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. All right.